All right, go ahead and take your Bibles tonight. We're going to do a quick challenge from God's Word, something I've been thinking about today. John chapter 12 is where we're going to be looking. John chapter 12. As you're turning there, I got a question for you. I'm going to need a little bit of feedback here, okay? I don't know that you would call this a game, but I'm going to say a person's name, all right? And so what we're going to do is when I say their name, I want you to give me a positive about this person, okay? Or a negative, okay? A negative or a positive about this person. Now, I'll go ahead and put you to rest. I'm not calling people in this room, okay? You're like, oh, man, I was going to really... Okay, no, that's not what this time is for, okay? All right, so listen again, all right? We have different perspectives in here, okay? So again, I'm looking for a positive or a negative, okay, about this person, okay? All right, so let's start off with the sports world, okay, right now. Name that you hear a lot, especially in NBA, depending on which Western or Eastern final you're following. I want you to tell me, all right, LeBron James, give me a positive or a negative, okay? All right. Mimi, what do you got for us, a positive or negative? A negative. Okay, go ahead. Prideful. LeBron James, how many of you think he's a little bit prideful? I see those hands, yeah. Yes, right, okay. All right, who's got a positive for LeBron James? Micah. Unselfish with the ball. It's very interesting how these sort of don't complement each other at all, but yes. All right, Ethan. Ooh. Yeah, okay. All right, that's a positive, I guess. All right, Andrew. Yeah. Oh, okay. All right, that's true. Okay, all right. Hey, let's switch up. Let's switch up. Let's switch sports a little bit. All right, Tom Brady. Somebody give me something positive or negative. All right. Let's see here. Ooh. Okay. All right. All right. Yes, sir. Right here. All right. You got a negative. Shh. All right. What? What is it? Ooh. Cheater. Okay. That's harsh. That harsh. It's good Miss Erica's not here tonight. All right, something, yes. Okay. He's on the Brady Bunch. All right, Micah. He knows how to win Super Bowls. That he does, okay? All right, hey, let's go to Bible characters here, okay? Somebody give me a positive and a negative, all right? Positive that comes to your mind or a negative that comes to your mind when you hear this person's name, David. Give me something here. Let's see. Josiah, positive or negative?
Positive.
Okay. Okay. Yes, those. I was trying to figure out if you gave me two there or those were connected. I think they could be connected. Okay. All right. Positive or negative?
Negative.
Okay. He actually killed a lot of people, but in the instance you're talking about, it was a negative, right? Okay. All right. Okay, yeah, right, so there's positives and negatives, but listen, I wonder if I was to say the name Judas tonight. Now, I already know, okay, go ahead and put your hands down, okay, the game's over. I already know that we would get a lot of negatives. In fact, I would actually even be surprised if anybody could think of a positive thing. And again, I said the game's over, gentlemen. We'll pick it up after the service is over, okay? In fact, if you look throughout the Word of God and you find anywhere that Judas is mentioned, even when he's mentioned in things that are not necessarily with him doing wrong, the gospel writers usually include Judas, the betrayer, or something like that when referring to him. I thought it was interesting that if... you look at the word a traitor, and then you look for synonyms. This was funny, but Judas was actually one of the synonyms that I found, as well as Benedict Arnold and some of those that have just been known as traitors. But anyway, not a lot positive about Judas. If you look back at some of the early writing centuries ago, most everybody that has done writing on Judas or even just created some alternate storylines around him, most of them are not positive. And I think it's interesting that when we approach the Word of God, we're in John chapter 12, and I just want to notice a couple of things here. And one of the things that is sort of a conflict in my mind is that, for the most part, we're used to thinking of Judas in very negative terms. But understand this, that the people around him, as the gospel plays out in the gospels, they did not know Judas in that way. Everybody follow me? I mean, obviously now we look back and we say, well, we know the end of the story. We know what happened to Judas. We know what he did. We know a little bit about of what his heart was like. But I believe that there was probably, out of all of the disciples that were chosen, I believe that Judas was probably one of the more qualified to be a disciple. And I want us to do something tonight. And as we think about Judas and what we know about him now, and as we look back at where he's mentioned in Scripture, I wonder, is there a place that maybe just gives us a hint about some of the actions that Judas was going to take in the future? And I think there is, and I think it points us back here to John chapter 12, and that's what I want to look at tonight. And I want us to take this thought and sort of run with it, and that is this: unmasking Judas. Unmasking Judas. Notice John chapter 12 here, and this is a familiar story to several, or most of you, I would think. But I wanted to just notice just a couple of quick observations about him in regards to sort of the window we see into his life at this point when he's with Jesus. Notice here in verse 1, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Then he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. And he had the bag and bare what was put therein. And Jesus' words here in verse 7, and said, Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. I want to notice just a few observations here into the life of Judas as we see him here and the way that he interacts with our Lord and the people around him. And I believe that we can look at some key observations here that will show us a little bit into his heart and maybe better understand why he ended up where he did at that point. Let's pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you for the just short minutes that we have together. I pray that you would, Lord, just take even the moments that we have, and Lord, you would Lord, take the spiritual application, Lord, of what's said tonight, and Lord, I pray that you would knit it with our spirit, and Lord, so that we would not make the same mistakes as Judas made. Lord, we need your help and ask these things. In your name we pray. Amen. First of all, I want you to notice this if you're taking notes. Notice, first of all, that Judas questioned what he refused to understand. Everybody look back at verse number 6 here. Excuse me, verse number 4. And you notice here, Judas asks a question. Now, this is not a question that is posed because he does not know the answer. In fact, if you notice here in verse 4, it says, then said one of his disciples, Jesus Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Now, Judas understood what he was asking, but this was not a question where an individual is hoping to learn. Now, my kids ask a lot of questions, and I enjoy trying to tell them things at times. You know, sometimes they ask even some of the most basic things. And we sort of look at each other and we're like, wow, you know, okay, I guess they didn't know that. And you know, we'll be driving down the road. They'll point at stuff. They'll ask questions. You know, they're not asking questions to be antagonistic or because, well, I'm just going to try to bother Daddy with lots of questions today. Okay, no, that's not what they're thinking at all. They're asking questions because they have an intent to learn. But understand this, that Judas is asking a question here not with the intent to learn or to be taught, but he is asking a question to challenge the God of heaven. Really, this is God in flesh, is it not? This is Jesus. Judas here, the ointment is hardly dry on Jesus' feet, and Judas steps forward with this challenge or question, as it were, about the reason that this ointment was, as he would probably say, wasted on Jesus. And you know what I find sometimes is that we can sometimes approach situation with a little bit of skepticism in our minds. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes we can have preconceived ideas about something that we feel strongly about. And instead of really asking a question to learn or be taught about a situation, we ask a question with really the intention of letting people know how we feel about something. In other words, a decision doesn't go our way, and we don't like the outcome, and so maybe we say to somebody, we blurt out, you know, well, why does it have to be that way? Okay, we may know the answer to the question, but we're merely blowing off steam, maybe. Or maybe somebody takes a position on something that you don't agree with, and you just kind of spout off, why do they have to be so intolerant, you know? And then, you know, I've seen some teenagers as well, I've seen them, when it comes to spiritual things in particular, develop a very critical eye. And I've seen teenagers who have just, you know, tried to watch for a teacher to say something that maybe they didn't think was, you know, well, that's not what I believe. And many times those same teenagers begin to sow discord among other people, and they say, hey, did you hear what that teacher said? I don't believe that for a minute. You know, sometimes teenagers take a approach to the Word of God, and they put defenses up, and really they're not interested in learning. They're simply interested in hearing somebody talk about maybe what they feel comfortable with. And anytime somebody would get close to stepping on my toes, to stepping on your toes, we take a skeptical approach to it, and we throw our arms up and we begin to ask questions. Well, why does it have to be this way? You know, I think that was something that was a heart issue with Judas, but I think it was something that was very telling for him. I think he was asking these questions not because he had a desire to understand, but rather because he had a desire to make a statement and make his own attitude known to the people around him. I think that can be a danger for us, for sure, in the Christian life. Notice the second thing, though, here. He says in verse 5 and 6, and this is what I find very interesting. He says this, as we follow his question, say, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Number two, I notice that Jesus valued the material here over the spiritual. You see, Judas has no spiritual discernment about what is taking place before him. He sees a woman who is eternally grateful to her Lord. She's just taken this very expensive bottle of perfume, probably something that had been passed down and something that was very valuable at the time, and she takes it, and she is now going to anoint the feet of Jesus in just complete adoration and devotion, and really an attitude of personal worship from her perspective. In this act of sacrifice and devotion from her perspective, she pours out the ointment and begins to worship at the Lord's feet. Judas doesn't understand this. In fact, he's standing off to the side. Again, the perfume has barely dried on the feet of Jesus, and he approaches and says, "What is going on here? Now, why on earth would this be done and we have not sold it?" You know what he's trying to do here? He's taking that material and he's placing it over the spiritual. And you know what? You and I can fall to the same temptation just as well. You know, when we begin to view our quiet time with the Lord as something that is expendable, or something that is somehow less important than other physical needs that we may have, or physical wants or material desires that we may have, when we begin to view life through that standpoint that places the material up here and drops the spiritual down here, we're in grave danger of making a mistake. You know, one thing that I see here I find interesting is Judas actually tried to put a price tag on Mary's personal worship. He says, Jesus, listen. Do you not understand how much this ointment, this perfume is worth? Although we could have taken this and we could have gotten, wow, I mean, we could have gotten 300 pence for this. I mean, and then, almost as if he's come up with a great idea, we could give it to the poor. But I think there's something very important here, and that is this. You and I cannot put a price tag on our personal worship and our quiet time with God. We can't do it. And second of all, it cannot be replaced. Now, was giving something to the poor, was that a bad idea per se? I mean, if somebody just popped up and said, hey, here's some extra money, we should give it to the poor. Is that a bad idea? I've seen some head nod. Okay, no, it's not a bad idea. But it wasn't the best option, and here's the reason. In Judas' mind, there's something that could be substituted. But the thing that you and I have to understand is there's nothing. There's absolutely nothing, no matter how moral or good it may sound, 300 pence given to the poor, it cannot be substituted for our time alone with God. And that's something that Judas took for granted. He looked at that time and that display of worship. It meant nothing to him. For him, it was just a waste of material things that could have been. Judas questioned when he refused to understand. Number two, Judas valued the material over the spiritual. Notice quickly here in closing, Judas took what was not his in order to appease his own desires. Look at the next thing here. I find this interesting. Notice what he says here, or what John writes about this situation in particular. Verse 6, we see a little bit more here. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, because he was a what? Because he was a thief. Now, I find it interesting that the Greek word that's used here is kleptes. And I don't know how many of you are already drawing the comparisons to something that we refer to as a kleptomaniac. How many of you know what that is? You call somebody a kleptomaniac. What's that? Brother Matt knows. Yeah, they're a thief. You know what's interesting here about this word is that John gives us the impression that this was not the first time that Judas was thinking about doing something shifty with that money. He calls him a thief. This is something that at some other time in Judas's life had reoccurred at some other point, and we're not given a lot of description in regards to that. But Judas, from his perspective, is thinking about himself. He's thinking about the material side of things. He's not locked into the spiritual at all. And he's going even beyond, and he's saying, you know what, really, I'm a thief. I've got a problem with stealing, and I want this for myself. You know, it's interesting the way that sin can sometimes control our thinking and our thought processes. I talked with someone today, and they were telling me about their testimony. About 5 years ago, they got saved. And before that, they talked about how the Lord led them out of a lifestyle of drugs and alcohol. And they told me that at one time, themselves and their mom were living in a car, just so poor, had been thrown out of the... Just unimaginable things that you and I cannot even wrap our minds around. And he said this. He said, you know what? He said, I knew the things that were hurting me inside. He said, I just went right back to doing them until I got to the point where I became completely empty. There was not a drug, there was not a drop of alcohol that could meet a need that I had down deep inside of me, and I was miserable. Now, the great news about that testimony was the fact that he found Christ, and he's been free of that stuff for a long time. But here's my point. Many times the devil wants to introduce a sin into your life that will control you, that will get you to the point where it will harness your attention to the point that you will try to pursue that sin to the fullest degree. And when you go to the end of the line, you'll find nothing but emptiness and the fact that that particular sin would not satisfy. You know what the end result of Judas was? I shouldn't have to ask you guys. We know, right? It was suicide. Self-destruction. He reached a point where he had gone as far as he possibly could go with his deceit and working behind the scenes, and to the point where he was absolutely miserable, he ends up killing himself. And now, that is the extent to which the devil wants a sin to grip your life, but it doesn't have to be that way. Judas, in the life of Judas, though, there was a particular sin. Judas took what was not his in order to appease his own desires. And look at the last point here we see in the final verses. I find this interesting as well. Notice he says here he was a thief, and he had the bag, and he bare what was put therein. This is the thrust of the message tonight. Notice this. Judas possessed the complete trust of those around him. I want you to think about that. Judas possessed the complete trust of those around him. You say, Brother Scott, what are you talking about? Let me go back through this again. Judas questioned what he refused to understand. That's a spiritual problem. Number two, Judas valued material over that which is spiritual. That is a spiritual problem. Judas took what was not his in order to appease his own desires. Again, a spiritual problem. And to think all of this occurred, and while at the same time, Jesus possessed the complete trust of those around him. It's very interesting that he was chosen to be the holder of the bag. And how this worked, people would receive money. The disciples there, and he held the collection. He was the holder of that bag. We already know he was dishonest in that. But I think that if Judas walked in this room tonight, and he walked through that door, I don't necessarily think you and I would tell any difference. I think that he was probably a well-respected individual. I think that when Jesus handed that sop to Judas around the table at the Last Supper, I think that the eyes of the disciples got about this wide when it was revealed who it was that would betray Jesus. And here's my point. Judas was an individual that had a whole lot of spiritual struggle going on inside, but you wouldn't have known it to look at him. My question tonight is this. How are you doing? You know, one of my biggest fears for our youth group is that we would have a group of people that appear spiritually strong on the outside. But when you start to dig a little bit, you start to see that there's a shallowness there. Or maybe it's not even a shallowness. Maybe it's just a subtle skepticism or critical spirit inside of a heart that is present in regards to spiritual things. Maybe it's representative of one of these other sins that Judas was committing at the time, and putting the spiritual down low, the material up high. I think these are things that we can all fall prey to, but let's learn from Judas as we unmasked him tonight. I think there were some warning signs there, but let's be diligent in our own lives not to be guilty of those. Heads bowed and eyes closed tonight. Even as we do our camp prep services this evening, I think it's important for us to always have an invitation. And anytime we have preaching from the Word of God, I hope that you are asking yourself the question, Lord, what do you have for me? What is it that I need to learn? And certainly, as we look at Judas tonight, there's nothing positive about him written in Scripture, or at least that we could draw attention from and learn from. But I'll tell you, there's a whole lot of mistakes that we can glean from. Maybe you're in here tonight and you say, you know what, I don't know that I'd admit it openly, but the truth is I have a problem just like Judas in a sin area. Maybe it is stealing. Maybe you've stolen or taken something from a teacher or a friend or a parent, and you know in your heart that you did that and you're not right with them and you're not right with God. I plead with you. The end result of that will take you down a road that you don't want to go. Maybe you're here tonight, you've had a critical spirit or just a skepticism to the things of the Lord, and maybe this church or even this youth group, maybe it's a youth worker or somebody in authority. I beg you tonight, would you give that to the Lord? Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the illustration and the lessons we can learn, Lord, from Judas. Lord, may we be proactive, Lord, like Mary. Lord, to see how important, Lord, the spiritual is in regards to our everyday life. Lord, it's not about Wednesday night service. It's not about Sunday morning, Sunday night service. Lord, it's about every minute of every day walking and talking with you. Lord, I pray that your blessing would be on the invitation time. I pray that we'd be obedient to you and how you've worked in our hearts. We ask these things in your precious name. Amen. As the piano begins to play tonight, if God's worked in your heart, I encourage you to come. There's something you'd like to pray about. Maybe it's relating to the message. Maybe it's not. I encourage you to come down, talk to the Lord about it. Don't let the sins of Judas be represented in your life, take you to places that you never want to end up. Be sensitive to the Word of God. Be sensitive to God's Spirit. If it's touched your heart, talk to Him about it. Are you who you say you are? People have you up on a pedestal, or at least in your mind, people have given you trust. Maybe your parents trust you with certain things, but you know you've misused that trust. I think you need to get that right. Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm thankful so much for your word, Father, that it gives us the nourishment, the spiritual nourishment that we need every day. Lord, I pray that these teenagers would rely on you, Lord, throughout the rest of this week. I pray, Lord, that they not only rely on you, but be sensitive to you, to hear your voice, Lord, to listen for your voice. Lord, I'm thankful for, Father, what you've done in my own heart and life. And Lord, I pray that you would help all of us to live what we've heard. Lord, we pray that you would continue to be with our camp prep services. And Lord, I pray that next week we'd have a good group represented here, Lord, ready to practice, Lord, ready to talk about camp. We ask these things in your name we pray. Amen.